Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we bring our series called Life's Healing Choices to a close. In today's lesson, Rick takes one last in-depth look at the biblical approach to overcoming the hurts, hang-ups, and habits that hold us back in life. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how to get our brand new Daily Hope Scripture Box based on the series Life's Healing Choices. It's a great way to keep God's hopeful and healing words right at your fingertips every day. You can go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the third and final part of a message called There's No Recovery Without Prayer.
There's this Irish priest. You know, the Irish really didn't like the English because they dominated them for 800 years. And so this Irish priest was always preaching the same sermon against the English. The English are bad. And his bishop comes and goes, buddy, you got to preach about Jesus. Okay? You got to share the gospel. You can't just preach against the English every week. So he promises, next week I'll preach on the Lord's Supper. And he says, today I'm going to speak on the Lord's Supper. And the Lord said to the disciples, one of you will betray me. And the blessed Saint Peter said, is it I, Lord? Will I betray you? And the Lord said, no, it isn't you, Peter. And the blessed Saint Thomas said, well then, is it I, Lord? Am I the one who will betray you? And the Lord said, no, it isn't you, Tommy. The blessed Saint Matthew said, is it I, Lord? Am I the one to betray you? And he said, no, it isn't you, Matty. And then Judas said, well, blimey, it must be me, mate. There's always a way. If you really want to, there's always a way. So it's at this event, and Jesus has just said, one of you is going to betray you. And Peter goes, man, I'd die for you, Lord. He's Mr. Bluster. Not me, man. And in Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, predicting Peter's fall, Jesus says this, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you just as wheat is sifted. You know, farmers sift the wheat to get the chaff away from the wheat. Satan has desired to sift you just as wheat is sifted. But, Jesus, I have prayed for you, Simon, so that your faith may not fail. And when you have recovered, notice, I wish this was written out because it doesn't say if. When you have recovered. Jesus knew before Peter's fall, he'd recover. Jesus knew before your mess ups, you'd recover. And when, not if. I've prayed for you. So if I've prayed for you, it's not if. You know what Jesus is doing for you in heaven right now? He's praying for you. He's praying for you. If there was something more important for Jesus to be doing, don't you think he'd be doing it? That's how important prayer is. It's not like the last resort. It's the first choice. And, you know, a lot of times in prayer we go, oh, well, all we can do now is pray. Like, that's the last thing. Like, well, all we can do now is pray. And everybody goes, has it come to that? Prayer is the first choice, not the last resort. Peter, I've prayed for you. I know you're going to mess up. I know you're going to deny me. But when you have recovered, it will be your job to strengthen your brothers. I commission you in the name of Jesus Christ to go commission others and to do it yourself to encourage your brothers and sisters. So Peter has this massive public failure, but you don't need to worry about it because Jesus prayed for him. And so he says, when you recover, now your job is to strengthen your brothers. Here's point number five. Write this down. With prayer, we can fully recover and even use our failures to help others. I like that. With prayer, we can fully recover. Doesn't matter what's happened in your life. We can fully recover and even use our failures to help others. All right? Now let's review. The Israelites teach us that with prayer, we can recover from problems that we cause by our own impatience. And we cause most of our problems by getting in a hurry. And to Jeroboam, Jesus, with prayer, we can recover even when we're paralyzed by our emotions. And Hezekiah teaches us with prayer, we can recover even when other people tell us, you're not going to recover. You're never going to change. And the two blind men who cried out to Jesus teach us that when we pray, we can recover our vision and see things we've never seen before. And Peter teaches us that with prayer, we can fully recover and even use our failures to help others. That's the plan. That's the last step. Now let's look at Job. Nobody had to recover more than Job. There is no one in this room who had to recover more than Job. Now, Job had three friends. And his friends, literally, they did some good things, they did some bad things. The Bible tells us that when Job lost everything, all his family and all of his money and all of his health, he lost literally everything except his wife, and she nagged him. And she came and says, look, honey, why don't you just curse God and die? Oh, thank you, honey, that's very helpful. Very, very supportive. Curse God and die. I'll file that. And he loses everything except the wife who says, go ahead and die. Thank you, God. But he does have three friends, and his friends show up, and the Bible says they sit down with him for a week. They sat there and said nothing. That's smart. His friends were real friends until they opened their mouths. The deeper the pain, the fewer words you use. You need to remember that. Write that down. The deeper the pain, the fewer words you use. If somebody's having a bad hair day, you can talk to them for 30 minutes. If they've just lost a loved one, or they've gone bankrupt, or something serious, show up and shut up. It is the ministry of presence. People say, I didn't come because I didn't know what to say. Don't say anything. Just be there. They don't need your words. They need your skin. When people have had a major failure or a major loss, they don't need a sermon. They need the ministry of presence. So Job's friend did it exquisitely for 1 week. They just sat with him, not saying a word. When my youngest son, after a lifetime of fighting mental illness, took his life, and my small group showed up, they didn't try to preach a sermon. They just showed up and shut up. And they just said, we're going to be here with you. And that night, they all came over to our house, those that were here in town, and said, we're going to stay at your house. We're not leaving you alone tonight. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And they slept in the kitchen and on the sofa and wherever. They just be there. We didn't need a sermon. Needed a hug. Needed a hug. Needed presence. But somehow, after a while, they started deciding, we've got this thing figured out, and we're going to tell Job why he's wrong and he needs to repent. And it's all of his sins that have caused all this stuff. And they start giving all these reasons and rationales and theologies, a bunch of mumbo jumbo. We get to the end, and in the end, in Job 42, it says this, verse 7. After the Lord finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz, that's one of the three friends, I'm angry with you and your two friends because you did not speak the truth about me the way my servant Job did. Job was talking the truth all during this time. Now, sometimes he's railing on God. That's called lamenting. That's okay, as long as it's true. He says, you didn't speak the truth about me the way my friend servant Job did. So I'm ticked at you. So I want you to make a sacrifice. God says, I want you to make a sacrifice. And notice he says, Job will pray for you. Hello? Who's in the crisis? Who's in the tank? Who's lost everything? That guy will pray for you. Okay. I know he's the one that needs recovery, but that guy is going to pray for you. And he says, then I'll answer his prayer and not disgrace you the way you deserve. So Job's three friends did what the Lord told them to do. He'd asked them to make sacrifices and bulls and oxen. And the Lord answered Job's prayer. Now, notice. Then, when Job, look up here. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored Job's health and prosperity, and Job recovered. There's the word recovered. He recovered twice as much as he had, little stutter there. That's from the Reviled Substandard Perversion. It's actually just an error. Twice as much as he had, I mean, really a lot. That's not in the Greek, but it's on the text there, so. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored Job's health and prosperity, and Job recovered twice as much as he had before his pain.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
No matter what challenges come your way, you can fill your life with hope and healing when you immerse yourself in God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about the brand new Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. This unique resource will inspire and encourage you with God's Word as you learn to trust His promises through every high and low. Filled with 52 artfully designed and inspiring scripture cards, this high-quality vegan leather box looks so great, you'll be adding a bit of flair to your living space. The Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box will get you on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request this great resource. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get yours, so don't wait.
Hi, it's Pastor Rick with some big news. My daily devotional is now available in French. If you know somebody who would enjoy reading the devotionals in French, would you please email me and I'll send you a link to sign up. My email is rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
The Lord restored Job's health and prosperity, and Job recovered. There's the word recovered. He recovered twice as much as he had, little stutter there. That's from the Reviled Substandard Perversion. It's actually just an error. Twice as much as he had, I mean, really a lot. That's not in the Greek, but it's on the text there, so. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored Job's health and prosperity, and Job recovered twice as much as he had before his pain. God did not recover Job. Job did not experience recovery when he prayed for himself and when he prayed for other people. When he prayed for his friends. He didn't have recovery when he was praying for himself alone. When he's praying for his friends. Here's the sixth point. Our recovery is only complete when we pray for the recovery of others. Our recovery is only complete when we pray for the recovery of others. Do you see how close prayer and recovery are combined here? How you cannot have true recovery without prayer? I told you that there are many types of recovery in the Bible. Genesis 38, it says this, Judah recovered from his grief. See up here on the screen? Genesis 45, it says Joseph recovered from his shock. 1 Samuel 30, it says this, David recovered all the Amalekites had taken from him, all his family and everything valuable to him. What's been taken from you? What have you lost in the process? Genesis 14 says this, Abraham recovered everything that had been stolen. His nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women of his family and all the others who'd been taken captive. You know, when I'm taken captive, it only takes a lot of other people captive too. When you get in a mess, it creates messes for other people. When you're not free, it binds up other people. And all the others have been taken captive too. So, he recovered it all. Notice, he gave a tenth of everything he recovered, a tithe, to Melchizedek. Are you tithing? I'll just leave that one right there, okay? I don't even think I have to preach on it, okay? He gave a tenth of everything he recovered to Melchizedek, who was God's priest in that situation. You know what all these verses that we've looked at today say to me? God is a God of recovery. And the whole business of Jesus Christ has been a search and recovery mission to seek and to save that which was lost. Why does Saddleback Church keep growing? We grow because people without Christ go to hell. We grow because people need the Lord. And as long as there's one person within driving distance who doesn't know Christ, we'll reach out. And as long as there's one person who needs recovery, and that's everybody in your neighborhood, you have to keep growing. You have to keep growing. If I summed up the whole Bible, it is in this phrase. God wants his lost children found. Yeah. Jesus' first recorded sermon is in Luke chapter 4. He'd actually been out preaching for a while, but this is his first recorded sermon. He goes to hometown. He goes to Nazareth. Hometown boy. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Prophet's not without honor, save in his own family or country. When he goes in and he picks up the scroll, this is in Luke chapter 4, but he's actually reading the Old Testament, and he's reading Isaiah 61. Here's Jesus' first recorded sermon. He announces his mission. God's Spirit is on me, and he's chosen me. Preach the good news to the poor. Does God have favorites? Yes. God loves the poor. Amen. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible on the poor. God says, if you help the poor, God will help you. God does have favorites. He loves the poor. God says that he has chosen those who are poor in riches to be rich in faith. He's chosen me to preach good news to the poor. Why? Because they're the ones who know the most that they're in need. And then number two, to announce freedom to those held captive. That sounds like recovery. And then to give recovery of sight to the blind. That is recovery. And to set the burdened and battered free. That's recovery. and to proclaim that this is the time of God's favor, God's grace. That's recovery. That's Jesus' first sermon. Friends, I have a 5-point sermon on recovery. That's his first sermon, recorded sermon. Now he's quoting, actually, Isaiah 61. And in Luke, doesn't actually give the rest of the passage. Because in Luke 61, verses 1 to 4, he mentions the other things that aren't mentioned in Luke. It said, you know, it said he preached good news to the poor. He gives freedom to the captive. He gives recovery of sight to those who can't see where they're going. And proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor, that's grace, and to set the burdened and battered free. But let me show you what else is in 61. Isaiah also says, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's recovery. And to comfort all who mourn. That's recovery. And to give beauty for ashes and joy for gladness instead of grief. That's recovery. And then he says, what about these people who have recovered? Here's what he says. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the devastated places. And they will renew the ruined cities. Everybody raise your hand. Say, I do.
I do.
I am commissioning you as a rebuilder, a restorer, and a renewer in America and around the world. That is the commission of the recovered. To rebuild, to restore, and to renew.
Amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, you know, no matter what challenges come your way, you can fill your life with hope and healing when you immerse yourself in God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about the brand new Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. God tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart. Now, you may not think you've got a good memory, but the truth is, we all remember what's important to us. For instance, you remember phone numbers and dates that you care about. I've heard people say they can't memorize anything, yet they can quote a song lyrics from their childhood, or they can rattle off a statistic for their favorite baseball player. You see, memory is a skill that you can learn, and it's also a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, study after study has shown that memorizing Scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas too. So when you memorize Scripture, you're actually benefiting a lot of other areas in your life. Now, here's how I want to help you memorize God's Word. We've put together a new packet, a new set of cards with verses from the Bible for you to memorize. And these are good, easily memorizable verses. And you can put these cards around your house, or you can put them on your refrigerator, or, you know, tape them to the mirror where you brush your teeth, or you can put them by your bed, or in your car, in the visor. It doesn't really matter, but they're very beautiful, and they will keep these Bible verses, God's Word, before you every day, helping you to memorize the Word of God. I hope you'll take advantage of this new resource.
Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own copy of the brand new Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request this great resource. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get yours, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.